Yeah. It's an important part of any keychain. Picture, if you will, four men crowded together in a room, sitting around a computer, and none of them is wearing pants. Good evening. Welcome to the Tech Show.
Hi, Link, Dan, and Alan. This is Steve from the beautiful farm fields of Riga, Michigan. And I just wanted to accept your invitation to chime in about podcasting in either MP3 or OGG format. I would like to give you the perspective of one of your new listeners and a new convert to Linux. Although I agree with some of your listeners that a program who promotes open source and free software should broadcast in OGG, I also think that MP3 format is important to continue reaching out to Windows users. Personally, I would like to switch to OGG completely, but it isn't practical or cost-effective for me at this time. My portable digital player of choice is a Sony Minidisc. Honestly, I love the Minidisc. It doesn't skip. My model is durable. Battery life is 45 to 50 hours on one AA. And I like not having a whole hard drive full of music and programs that I would have to shuffle through to get to what I want. What I don't like is its incompatibility with Linux. I can't plug it into my USB port and download one of your programs in a few minutes. This has to be done on a Windows machine because of the proprietary audio format and software used by Sony. Also, the Minidisc only accepts MP3s and WAVs recorded at the 44.1 rate, so I already are resampling your programs with LAME before I can load it onto the Minidisc. Since I often listen to you guys on the Minidisc while driving in the car, I probably wouldn't tune in as faithfully each week. Economically, it just doesn't make sense to get a new digital player at this time. Really, this is a problem for new Linux users. Until you install Linux for the first time, you don't know about some of the hardware incompatibilities. In my own life, I just bought a digital camera, but I carefully researched which ones worked well with Linux so that when I got the camera, I knew that it would work out of the box. I would have done the same thing a year ago when I got the Minidisc player if I had been a Linux user. Also, as a new Linux user, I've noticed that it isn't necessarily easy for someone transitioning from Windows to Linux to play OGG files. I still sometimes play podcasts on a Windows machine, and support for OGG files is questionable. RealPlayer 10 on my machine doesn't recognize them. Windows Media Player does something strange, which of course isn't a surprise to you guys. It doesn't recognize the extension. It puts up a warning message, but it can still play them. To play OGG files that I've downloaded, I have gotten Zoom Player, a free multimedia player, and then I had to download the OGG codecs in order to make them work with that player. However, even a novice Windows user can play an MP3 without installing anything on their computers and without seeing any warning messages from Microsoft. I would love to recommend your podcast to novice Windows users who are in a continual cycle of spyware and virus cleanup duty. I'm sure your more experienced Linux listeners have already conquered these issues long ago. However, for the sake of us Linux newbies and possible Linux converts, please keep those MP3 files. You guys are doing some great work. The interview with Richard Stallman was excellent. What a thrill to have such a prominent member of the FOSS community on your show. I've also been listening to old episodes from 2004, which is before I started to tune in. Dan, your reviews of distros and programs are excellent. Please do more of them. Link, your stories about using Linux in practical situations to solve problems are excellent. Please share more of those. Alan, I'm sure all the listeners would appreciate it if you just had more to say, especially during those moments when Link and Dan aren't talking. It would help fill up the dead air space. Seriously, guys, great program. Thanks for keeping me excited each week about Linux.
Yes, indeed. Exciting as it is, we're here. And thanks a lot, Steve, for... Am I talking into the mic? Can you guys actually hear me? That's probably
a lot better.
Turn
up a little bit.
There we go. Yeah.
I need to see that waveform
going. Anyway, yeah. Thanks a lot, Steve, for sending your comments in. We always encourage the rest of you folks out there to do the same. And, you know, we probably, chances are, you know, we won't have anything to talk about. We probably will play your stuff on the air. So go ahead and send it in. But, hey, thanks a lot for stopping in to listen to us again today. This is our groundbreaking episode. Yes, that's right. You heard it here. Groundbreaking episode because it is Tech Show number 80.
And what's so groundbreaking about
80,
that?
Because we only did 79 so far, and this is number 80, so that's groundbreaking, right?
We keep chugging along. And who would have thought we'd actually been this far?
It's 80. I figured, you know, we'd peter off after like 10 or 12, and now we're up to 80.
We got Pat, too.
That's right, and we got Pat
behind us. And notice, what was his name? What was it, Jim?
One who, huh?
The sound bit we just played.
Steve.
Steve. Steve didn't say anything about Pat.
That's okay. My feelings aren't hurt.
Well, you know.
I think, you edited it out, he said. And Pat, get him the hell off the show.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't want to hurt Pat's feelings when Steve said, you know, that get the freak off the show. But yeah, episode 80. And today, of course, is Wednesday, the 20th of April. Cool.
I have to say, man, the emails that we got this past week after the interview with Richard Stallman was absolutely great. Everybody was very supportive and appreciative, and we appreciate that you guys are giving us feedback.
Oh, no.
I didn't get any of those emails.
Yes, you did. We got lots
they all go
of emails
to Pat.
Besides
he only gives
that.
Us a few of them at a time.
You know, we got lots of emails besides that, too. I mean, people talking about one of the hot topics in the emails that we got this week, you know, like Dan says, he doesn't pay attention, but I read them. And you guys are all talking about...
I do read them. I just very rarely reply. Never reply to them.
You guys are all talking about the controversy between whether we should carry OGG or MP3 formats or and have, you know, which and use a default, which format for the default and stuff like that. And although we have received a couple of comments supporting the whole go with OGG and screw everybody else idea... the vast majority of you have said that, you know, it probably would not be a good idea to discontinue supporting MP3.
Wait a minute. Are you reading the same emails I am?
Yes, I am.
And looking at the same?
I happen to agree
with the Tech Show forum poll, which has it...
I didn't look at the forum poll, no.
Which has
I read the email.
It's only the four of us that voted.
Yeah, I read the
email. No, there's 10 votes. There's 10 votes.
Okay.
Six, four, keeping MP3.
I know when I voted, there was only four of us.
Dan, nine times, right?
No,
you can't do that.
On the forum.
He does it from every computer he logs every in. Every ID he logs in.
I didn't vote.
How many computers are in this room that voted on that? That's what I wanted to know.
I did not vote.
Uh-huh.
I did not vote.
Well, we know you vote, right? You would vote with the OGG, right?
I don't care, really, because I got the master, so I do whatever I want. I'll have an MP3 at OGG. No, I think, my personal opinion, and I'll state it again, I think we should support both for all the episodes available via the RSS feed, and after that...
Continuing forward,
just straight
right?
OGG. after that. So, I mean, at this point right now.
What do you mean after that? You mean like the old shows?
Right.
Oh, well, you didn't tell me that.
What?
We can do that.
What?
That ditch the MP3s for the old shows that are not on the.
Not on the RSS feed. Not on the RSS feed.
Perhaps I wasn't paying attention.
So, I mean, I'm for that. I'm.
What about a week? Keep the MP3s for a week, and then after that, or even
no,
because
no, you know, I've said for the entire RSS feed because it's a 10-show feed,
right?
So when the new show comes on, I bump off the
old one.
I think it's 10 shows. Maybe it's not 10 shows. That's the way it goes. So that's what I thought. That way, you know, we support both people with the most recent, and if you want an older show, and you can download the AUG and convert it yourself. But I still, you have an archive, and I have an archive of all the shows. And Alan, you have what, 4 archives of all the shows?
No.
Alan doesn't have a damn thing.
Somewhere floating around, I had the CD for like the first year that you gave me.
I got one too.
During the move, it got lost. Right. I'm gonna have to like get another one.
That's okay, because I lost it all too.
Well,
I can make copies of it.
No, it's not a CD anymore, boys and girls. It's a DVD now. We've got two gigs.
Yeah, but that's AUG and MP3.
That's AUG MP3, right?
So what I say is, you know, maybe we can talk about what we did before. We make the MP3 an entire CD.
That was not good.
Quick, unscrew a light bulb.
God is speaking over here.
That thing is hot, man. I ain't touching that.
Dan is talking about getting rid of the MP3 files.
Turn
and
the lights
are like
just turn
dim
it down
and
some
stuff.
More.
But we can make the MP3s available as a, you know, you send us a few bucks to cover shipping and handling. We'll
send them a CD full of MP3 stuff.
Oh,
that's awesome! But
just
like
by the glow of the monitors in here,
so like. No, I can still see it. Sorry.
We have mood lighting in here now.
We're good.
Yeah, because we're hoping that the power doesn't go out again.
If you see me start, like, fat-fingering words on the IRC tonight, it's because I'm not a touch typist and it's dark as hell in here now.
Yeah, if you see him fat-fingering something else,
you'll
hear Alan talking more. But it's <not the noise>. Yummy.
Sure.
So, you know, the AUG MP3 debate still goes on. Let's push that idea out. MP3 support for what's on the RSS feed. And just straight AUG for archive shows.
Put it up for another vote.
Keep pushing. Vote.
Let us know. Let us definitely know. And hopefully, last...
There's one for you, Link. How about a Bash Potter extension to re-encode the AUG as it gets the feed?
You know what? People have taken that program and it's done everything but like wipe your ass at this point, you know? It's hysterical.
Hold your dick while you take a piss. Yeah,
pretty much. Hey, now, you know, if you keep having language like that, we won't be able to get on the tech podcast thing there.
That's long forgotten.
You know, we have the adult-oriented language.
I finally got myself unsubscribed to that list.
What list?
I got on the Tech Podcast Network.
Did you just start spamming them with, like, nasty emails?
Spamming them? I got spammed by them. I must have got 40 emails an hour from them.
No, but if they won't let you unsubscribe, you just start, you know.
No, I got off.
Subscribe that list to, you know,
just
I don't
like
know.
Drop over the bag or spam if you get an email.
Oh, speaking of mailing lists, I guess Pat should know this, but you other two might not. The Linux show is coming back.
Yes, I saw that.
No, I did not know that, as a matter of fact.
I guess they just recently... Did they announce it yet, or they said that they're
not
going
announced.
To be announced?
He put it on the mailing
very
list.
Very shortly.
Next week he said he's going to announce it.
That the Linux show is coming back.
Why?
Good for them.
Why not?
Why?
Because he got somebody to give him another $25,000.
Well, somebody can give us $25,000.
No, apparently they got screwed out of huge amounts of money from Sun and other places, is what they were saying, is why they went under. Because Sun and... Who else was in there? Sun and who else?
Some other company.
A couple other companies. It was, I have them all. It's exciting.
Hey, they do their thing.
What
we
the
do
hell
ours.
Is he talking about?
They're coming.
It's
back.
All, I have them all, it's exciting. And there's
no,
like two whole conversations I must have missed a part of there.
There was a lot of that one there I did miss too.
The thread. Oh, man, it was, somebody posted, will TLS be coming back to life? And they said, yes, we are coming back to life.
The one guy, Gordon, defends us once again.
Yes.
That was the guy who jumped all over, you know, Jeff, when I posted my email back in February, and he jumped on my throat. This one guy, Gordon, I forget his last name, he totally defended us. He says he loves us. You know, we're the guys who actually get the work done. They're the intellectuals.
Yeah.
I'll take that. They could be intellectual. We're the people that get it done.
He said it was Sun.
Sure.
Sun Guava, GS, and a few other companies did not pay them what they were supposed to.
Pay them for what?
I don't know. I think he said deals.
See,
with
now
that.
That's what I don't understand.
Advertising, maybe.
What advertising?
Well, I don't know. I never really went to the site. I think I only listened
to
them.
Okay, now we have
once.
Established that Alan didn't listen to the show. We also know that Dan listened to the show regularly, but that's only so that he could fall asleep.
Yeah, but see, the problem I always had with the show was, like, you know, one person would be talking at one volume, and then you'd have a... And you're trying to listen to it in the car going to work. It was like fighting traffic and the volume control at the same time. It just was no fun.
We shouldn't talk. Lately.
No, well, you know, we're getting better. We've got some bugs to work out of the new
mixer,
equipment.
That's what it is.
We went professional, and we've got some bugs.
Yeah.
It's hopefully resolved by now.
Creepy crawlies, something.
I haven't seen anybody complaining on the chat yet.
No, the stream is good.
I don't...
Of course, maybe they're just being polite.
True.
You're right. Gordon did defend us on the list.
He did so last time, too.
Saying right. What? Like, you know, hook me up here. Don't keep me in the dark. I want to hear it.
Well, the first time was back in February when I posted.
I know the first time, but this time.
This time around, basically, he said, you know, we're coming back. The show's coming on. There'll be an announcement next week. And then people started talking about the other shows. They talked about Lug Radio. They talked about us.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, these guys, referring to the Linux show, you know, I really miss them, blah, blah, blah. You know, those other shows I really don't care for. And basically, Gordon jumped in and said, you know, the different shows have different qualities that make them different from each other and unique. And I agree. You know, the Lug Radio guys, they're funny in their British kind of way, you know. Uh-huh. You know, we're funny.
We don't have an accent.
Right.
Well,
we don't have an accent.
To us, we don't have an accent.
To us, yeah, we don't.
You know. But you know what? We have one other qualification. We are the oldest continually running
live
Linux talk show.
Live talk show.
Well, the Linux show was until they went
until
on.
Until December.
Yeah, but they dropped it, man. They dropped the ball. So now we are the oldest continually running.
And we keep churning along every week. New episode.
Yep. That is
getting bigger and better week by week.
Well, without starting a pissing match over it. Yeah, you're right. The one guy, you know, basically the guy said, you know, I listen to the other shows. They're different than the Linux show.
Boy, I hope so.
The guy favored the Linux show more, which is just his preference over the other two.
Okay, go for it.
He said, for my money, TLS is unique as they come. That's fine. It is. It's unique. It's not our show. Is not the TLS. They're not us. We're not Lug Radio. Lug Radio's not us.
Yep.
I know Lug Radio wants to be us, right?
Yeah. Well, they,
yeah. Right. No. But
at least we get along with Lug Radio.
Yeah. But you know, that was
Lug Radio, and we are actually trying to do the same thing, sort of.
Gordon basically
in
said,
a different accent.
And one of these days, we're actually going to hook up with them.
We actually talk to each other and try to communicate.
No, I'm sorry for interrupting. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in a fight mood tonight. Anyway, basically, Gordon said, hey, we could all swim in the same pond, man. It's big enough.
Yeah.
It's big enough.
If Dan has to run downstairs one more time for the breaker.
Yeah.
The more the merrier. That's what I say. You know,
for those of you who don't know, the breaker was it twice or three times already?
Twice.
The breaker trip twice before we even got the show started. If the show stops all of a sudden in the middle of the show somewhere, if it stops...
Just stay on. We'll be back in a few
minutes.
I don't know, man. I'm thinking about just like cutting out and taking a smoke while he gets it going again or something.
The servers are rebooting.
Yeah, we'll be back sometime. Just hang in there, I guess.
While the server is rebooting, while Dan is resetting all these configuration files.
But on a serious note, there are plenty of shows. You know, the Linux Box. You know, Sean does a great job. He came out with a new episode today. You know, the Linux Log. The more the merrier, man. That's what it's all about. People getting their two cents in and saying their piece. You know?
I was listening to the Linux Box show earlier this evening, and I was really getting into it. That was a great... he talked about BitKeeper. All I can see is Link looking at me and Pat trying to look at my face.
I didn't listen to that one yet.
BitKeeper controversy.
I'm looking at you because you're making noises, bouncing something.
No, bouncing something.
It's me. I'm doing it.
We were talking about the BitKeeper controversy. For those who don't know, who have their heads up there, Link's butt. Alan. Basically,
no.
For a couple years now, the kernel's been maintained using BitKeeper, which is non-free software.
Right.
And, man, now the guy's name's eluding me, but one of the developers decided to create a hook-in, I think it was, to BitKeeper, not using any BitKeeper codes or BitMover or having ever used any of the products, developed this hook into it that would kind of pull some of the information, and that would made a big stink, and there was controversy between the developers of BitKeeper, BitMover,
and Linus,
and Linus was in the middle, and this other guy, and I guess Linus kind of said that this other guy did something wrong by reverse engineering it or whatever, and it was a big stink. Go to Slashdot and NewsForge and all the other ones. Actually, listen to the Linux Box Show episode 7.
Awesome show.
And you'll get the full skinny on it. I'm in the middle of listening to it now. But yeah. He does a great job of summarizing the entire thing.
I listened to it tonight. I was too damn busy at work today to listen.
Where's he from? Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, all the good shows come out of Pennsylvania. And the Northeast United States.
That's really very true. You know?
We got
except for, you know, the Lug Radio guys, but that's they do well because they wish they were
in Pennsylvania.
And they drink a lot.
Well, you got Linux Questions, which comes out of Buffalo.
Right.
He's in Buffalo, and
that's close enough to Pennsylvania to say so, right?
It's like on the Eastern Seaboard because you have
must be something in the water.
Isn't the Linux Log out of Virginia?
No, he's in Arizona.
Arizona.
I talked to him, and he can't come on because he works while we're on. But he said he'd do a pre-taped segment.
Time to quit.
Yeah. Hey, we can call him at work, right? We'll call him at work sometime and pretend to be, like, calling for a tech support question, right? Kevin, can you come down here and fix the printer? I stuck my sandwich in it or something, you know?
And aside from the Linux Box Show, the Linux Box in general, there's a whole bunch of really cool articles and stuff that are going up there right now, so definitely go check it out.
Yeah, what he said.
And, you know, he talks about it on episode 7 of the Linux Box, so thumbs up to that. Yeah. And also, I guess we're going to be on...
And as far as that other show, we got another finger for him.
But,
finger.
Don't give the Linux Log the finger. That's not.
Wasn't giving the Linux Log the finger. You know, he cleaned himself up real good. He started calling it the Linux Log instead of the Linux.
I really
like
the Linux.
He's all right, that guy.
I really like it. He's got a good sense of humor.
He is. He's all right, man.
We're gonna be on Free Matrix too.
That's in Australia, right?
Yep. Along with a whole bunch of other.
Is that just the internet or is that over the air?
I don't know.
Lug Radio's on that as well.
Yeah, Lug Radio.
No, we're supposed to be live during our segment.
Yes, at
that time,
12,
and then I think they're
going to
do pre-recorded stuff
like
too.
That.
Yeah. So if you're listening to us in Australia over Free Matrix,
welcome.
Yeah. Good morning.
Welcome and thanks, Leah. Good morning.
Good afternoon. What time is it? About noon, I think. 11, 12?
Something like that. I don't know.
You know, and it's coming over the chat too, that it was Gorkon has said that he was surprised Stallman didn't say anything about the use of BitKeeper last week, and you know I was tempted to ask him about that, but we just never got around to it. But his opinion, I know he has come out in the past as saying that he thinks it's an offense to the universe that that one of the shining examples of free and open source software, a new Linux, is being maintained by closed software.
Yeah, that ain't right.
He doesn't like that term FOSS either, though, because it says open source.
Right.
And he is, Richard Stallman is most definitely anti open source anything.
He made that very clear.
He's one of them guys says, if it's free, it's for me.
You know, I was thinking about, you know, that conversation last week, and I listened to Corey of the Electronic Frontier EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation, and he gave the speech. We listened to the IT Conversations speech that he gave at Web2 conference regarding freedom on the Internet and how the big companies are trying to edge. The technology companies used to work and promoting technology and freedom of technology. Now the big companies are trying to
this is not good.
Trying again,
to prevent freedom on the web. Prevent copying and all sorts of stuff.
Well, sure, because they want to make sure they're getting their the almighty buck out of it if they can now.
Right. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know, out of all the people I know that are going to pirate DVDs, okay, who are these people? Every person that I know that does this, just about every person, illegally, that would pirate it and give it out to friends, is doing it on Windows. Yeah. I don't hear about people doing it on Linux. GNU Linux. Maybe Pat does it. I don't know. But still.
Alex,
and I don't mean, you know, taking a DVD, copying it for yourself. You go out and rent a DVD, and you burn, you know, you make a copy of it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about...
You're talking about mass producing.
I'm talking about the person who goes out and does that and gives it to their, you know, next door neighbors or hands them out. You know, something like that. Because that's, they're all paranoid about that.
Who sells them on the Staten Island Ferry for $5.
Right. So let's face it. If I want to, you know, I used to record shows off of TV, or I would record occasionally dub a VHS tape that I rented. I'll admit that. But you know what? I'm never going to rent it again, so they're not going to make any revenue off of me, and I very rarely watch them again. That's the point, you know? How many people actually rewatched your movies over and over again?
When I moved, I threw out so many VHS tapes. When, you know, when I had like HBO and all the movies I recorded, I looked at this stuff as like, you know, I haven't like ever watched it. Even after I recorded it, I didn't watch it again. So it was like, just chuck them all out. Yeah.
But the point is, 99% of the people are lazy idiots, and they're not going to go out and invest the time in burning DVDs to watch. They're going to go out and buy it. They're going to go out and rent it. Why? Why do I know this? Because they're lazy.
Because he watches me and I'm a lazy ass.
Because that's the reason why 99% of the world's running Windows. Because they're lazy. Yeah. They go to the store, that's what's available. They don't care about alternatives.
Sure.
They don't care about anything else. That's what they buy, because that's what's available. They don't care if it runs like crap. And that's why these people are going to go buy DVDs. And they're not going to be too concerned about the piracy, because if they're going to buy pirated DVDs, they'll do it by accident. Because they're lazy.
Did anybody else get anything out of that conversation that made sense?
People are lazy.
What is the point, Dan?
The point is, all this...
That was like 20 minutes of Dan's cyclical logic there.
He's pre-recording one of his rants.
I will personally lay down money for somebody who can flowchart that sucker. That's what I want.
The point is, people are lazy, okay? They're going to go out. They're going to buy their DVDs at the store. They're going to rent them from wherever they can rent them. Right. And a few of them will get smart and say, oh, I might be able to get it cheaper by buying a pirated DVD.
Uh-huh.
Or pirated whatever. Or buy it off the street. There's a handful of people, but the majority are going to do it legitimately because they just don't have the wherewithal, the knowledge, or the energy to go find the illegal route.
Right.
All right? There are some exceptions, of course, but the majority of people are going to buy it.
Plus, you know what it is? Have you ever bought a pirated DVD before?
I have. I talked about that a couple weeks ago. It was really good quality.
I had the other experience. I went to a flea market, like, what was it, 2 years ago or something, when Men in Black 2 came out.
Okay.
This was in the summertime. Like, right before the release date. I don't know what the hell I was thinking, you know. I know exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking, you know, the Men in Black 2 DVD comes out on Tuesday. I'm there on a Sunday, right? I'm figuring this guy...
Let's camp it out.
...has got, you know, this guy has got some advanced copies, right? He's selling them at the flea market. So I buy this thing and take it home, and this is the worst... it's like the worst copy. You know what I mean? Like, you can watch the
movie theater.
It's a movie theater. Exactly. Except the voices are really, really low and fuzzy and not exactly in sync and stuff.
You got to buy your pirated DVDs from China. They know to do it right.
But that's the
thing.
Mafia. Like, this had a professional cover on it and everything. You know, a glossy professional cover.
Next time I come over, I want to see this.
That makes a good point, man.
And I had no idea until I got it home and put it in the DVD player, and, like, the sound was all screwed up. And even then, for, like, the first 10 minutes, I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe I got a crappy DVD. But no, you know, like bootleg. Like you just it kind of hits you throughout the movie that this is obviously a bootleg kind of thing.
But
like that cured me, man. And like when I buy a DVD, it comes from like Walmart or Blockbuster or something now. You know what I mean? Because when I, you know, if I spend $20 on something, I actually want to watch it.
Right, and that's yeah. that's what I'm saying. You know, unless
but why would I? You know,
unless the
I wouldn't even spend
$5
on a pirated copy.
Right, unless the purchasing of pirated DVDs is going to come with the convenience and the appearance of quality.
Right.
As going into Walmart or Suncoast or renting it from Blockbuster or Netflix or whatever, unless it has that kind of appearance, you
yeah.
know, generally people aren't going to do it.
Yeah.
So my analogy was people are lazy. That's why they run Windows.
Because okay.
they don't want to go the extra step or find
I'm with you.
They tolerate it. People are going to suffer the high prices of movies and buy non-pirate editions because that's what's available at the store. And that's why they're not going to pirate. Because the pirate is going to take that extra step, and the majority of the people aren't going to do it. Ergo, the piracy excuse that, oh, we give people TiVos with digital recorders, we put the broadcast flag in, is not going to amount to a dent in piracy at all. It's not going to fix the problem. Why? Because those people who are going to use those products for piracy are going to find workarounds for it. Because you know the moment that DVR card, the digital capture card comes out with the flag, somebody's going to have a hack for it.
Oh, yeah.
And those are the people. Go ahead, Pat.
It's not stopping anybody from, say, somebody in Hungary or China from pirating, you know, the video
right.
and selling it here. There's nothing stopping that.
So basically what happens is Patrick can't use his Myth TV box the way he wants to unless he buys the card now. And he's not using it for illegal purposes. But he
doesn't make a difference.
Right. So it really, you know, it's not going to make a difference. Not going to do a damn bit of good. The only thing it does is it puts more money in Microsoft's products or pocket and more money in Apple's pocket because they're going to be the ones pushing this bill forward, these requirements, and the people who design the software who have their fingers in the pockets of the politicians are going to be the companies that make the money on it because that's what you have to buy in order to use this. The hardware properly.
Yeah.
Right?
You go, Dan.
You get yeah. damn right. We're all taking away our freedoms.
We're all going to be on Dan's rants
go,
this
Dan.
Week.
It's your birthday.
Go, Dan, go.
So we end up, you know, you want to play with the big boys, you got to pay the big boys.
See, you know, folks, this is what happens when you give Dan a beer before the show.
And when you right. talk to Richard Stallman the week before.
But it's true. I mean, come on, really. Legally, we can't play DVDs back on our Linux machines.
Okay.
Not yeah, legally, legally, no. No.
Legally.
There. So, are we ready for our guest?
I guess so.
I think so. Who's our guest tonight, Pat?
Our guest tonight is Scott Wong, who's one of the core developers of FreeBSD.
FreeBFD?
Yes, FreeBFD.
FreeBSD.
Big F and deal.
I look forward to talking to him.
Yeah, I'm interested yeah. in talking to him, too.
Do they have a new release of BSD?
It's coming out very, very soon.
5.4, right?
5.4.
Any day now.
All right. Well, should
we open it up and say one of the core developers of NetBSD?
Yeah.
All right. We ready?
We can ask him what the difference is.
Do it.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Hello.
What time are we supposed to call him at?
Like
15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
50 or 15?
15.
Well, sometimes we get going, you know.
Hello?
Scott, how you doing? This is Pat DeVillo and the rest of the Linux Link Tech Show. How are you tonight?
Hey.
Good to talk
hey,
to you.
You're sounding really fuzzy. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
Okay.
Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, but it's kind of like how Richard was last week where he was complaining about an echo and fuzzy sounds.
Why is there an echo?
Because we're talking to him on the phone.
Oh, is that a
phone relay echo?
I think so. Can you deal with it?
If it's like really annoying, we can call you back and
want to try it again?
Try it again.
What's that?
Want to try it again? We'll call you right back.
Sure.
Okay. All
right, hold on. Do we have a feedback loop going on?
We shouldn't.
He sounds fine.
When we went through the echo service, I didn't hear any echoes.
I didn't hear a feedback.
It's a phone thing, man. It's definitely the phone.
I think it's went through the phone service. Is what it is.
Someday we'll have to call ourselves before the show.
We didn't have that problem with Marcel or.
No, it's only the phone ones we've had.
Hello?
Scott?
Hello?
How do we sound now?
About the same.
Okay.
It's okay, though.
We'll deal with it.
I think it's an issue with Is it a Skype issue?
It's Skype out.
I bet it's Skype out issue, yeah.
Let's not. You know what? Let's get right into the FreeBSD stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Scott, you're one of the core developers of FreeBSD. You could tell us a little bit. You could tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do for the project.
Well, I live in Colorado. I've been doing FreeBSD since 1994, developer team since 2000, and I've been leading the release engineering team since 2002. And I don't know what else you want to know.
Any particular pieces of software you're involved in closely, or?
I'm sorry?
Any bits of the software that you're working closely, or is it just general?
I've done a bunch of storage drivers. I've done some file system stuff. But a lot of my time has been spent recently on doing the release engineering and getting releases out.
You guys are coming out with a new release, like any day now, right? 5.4?
Yeah, it's going to be in a week or two. We're just working out the final bugs right now.
So what are the new goodies that are gonna come out with 5.4?
It's mostly a bug fix, minor increment type release. There were a lot of bugs with big memory systems, you know, your big servers with more than 4 gigs of memory in 5.3. So those have all been fixed. There's more drivers. Performance is constantly being improved. So. Can't really say it's a major earth-shattering release, but it's definitely an improvement over 5.4 or over 5.3.
Okay, can you do us a favor and contrast what you see as the differences between, say, Linux and FreeBSD for those of our listeners who actually really don't know?
Just throw me right into the fire.
Yeah, we'll hit you good.
Well. In the purest sense, FreeBSD is an operating system where Linux is a kernel. Now, of course, if you're running Linux, you're running Red Hat or you're running Ubuntu or whatever.
Slackware.
But FreeBSD is really developed from the ground up to be a single complete system, kernel integrated very closely with userland, versus being a kernel that has userland utilities built on top of it. Let me see here. What are the claims you want me to say here?
Well, I think that's a really great point right there. That the big difference is with the FreeBSD and with the other BSDs, they're developed to be an entire operating system, as opposed to what Linux is a kernel with BSD and new software wrapped around it.
Because Linux is a Unix-like operating system, and BSD is a Unix operating system based on BSD Unix from Berkeley Software. Now, why FreeBSD?
Well, according to the lawyers, we're not really Unix either. You know, Unix is, of course, owned by SCO.
Well, yeah, but you were at one time, and SCO is going away, and I know better, so...
We don't care about the lawyers.
I know better. Why FreeBSD as opposed to either of the other two, NetBSD or OpenBSD?
Why FreeBSD over NetBSD or OpenBSD?
Right.
Well, each has its own strength. NetBSD is really focused on the smaller systems, the embedded systems, you know, your ARM, your RPC, all that kind of stuff. And their i3 export is very good too, but their focus really is on the smaller systems. OpenBSD, of course, is focused on security out of the box, making sure that every detail of the system is as secure as it can possibly be. FreeBSD is really more focused on providing a good server experience and being able to run your company server on it, being able to run your desktop on it, and really, you know, combine the best parts of all the others, you know, taking the security fixes from OpenBSD when they come, taking some of the interesting technology from NetBSD when they develop it, and making it our own.
Awesome. So now you said one of the focuses for FreeBSD is actually to be a decent desktop system as well, right?
Right.
Okay, here's a question for you. Do you still have to compile the kernel in order to get sound working by default?
No, you don't.
Aha! When did they change that?
That's a plus.
That's a definite. That was one of the really biggest things. You know, it sounds really trivial, right? But that was one of the biggest things that used to annoy the hell out of me with FreeBSD, is that you get FreeBSD working on your computer, and the first thing you'd have to do is recompile your kernel so that you could listen to sound, you know?
Well, for many years, the sound drivers have been available as modules that just load right in. Just
right,
like
you have to put them in. Yeah.
And the modules for a distributed cloud-based system, all you have to do is just load them. But, yeah, it's one of those things where if you didn't know to load them, then you wouldn't know they were there and all that. So I guess I understand what you're asking, and that is, are the sound drivers compiled into the kernel by default? And no, they're not.
Ah, they still aren't.
You know,
And really the reason why we do that is, number one, the FreeBSD is really a server OS. That's one of the things that we try and stress. And also, there's licensing issues. Out of the box, we try and be as pure BSD as we can. So, we don't include the Linux, we don't include the sound drivers because there are some GPL drivers in there. And it's not that we don't like the GPL drivers, it's just that out of the box, we try and be as BSD as possible.
Okay. Now, you know, speaking of drivers and hardware support, on the GNU Linux side of things, we've always been, you know, trying to play some catch-up with companies, particularly with the newest hardware. And companies like NVIDIA and ATI are starting to throw some support towards the Linux side of things. And how has the hardware support been with FreeBSD? Have you found it to be more open in the previous, you know, the most recent years here, or is it still a struggle?
Well, it's good that you mentioned NVIDIA, because just a week or two ago, they released a new driver set for FreeBSD that brings FreeBSD support up to state-of-the-art equivalent to Linux and Windows.
That's good news.
So, you know, I was just playing Unreal Tournament the other day with it, and it worked flawlessly.
Now the desktop.
As for other vendors,
the desktops that are available for FreeBSD, it's basically the same desktop that's available for Linux.
Yeah, you have GNOME and you have KDE, and if you want Enlightenment or Window Maker or whatever, it's all there. We include a lot of that on our default CDs. The stuff that's not on our CDs can be downloaded from the website.
And you have Linux binary compatibility as well, right? That you can compile.
Yeah, it's actually working really well. Like I said, I was playing Unreal Tournament. That was actually a Linux app.
Right.
That's great.
You know, people out there are doing things like Mathematica and Oracle and whatever, and those all work really well too.
So essentially, if you're running FreeBSD, you get all the capabilities that most of the capabilities that you have with running GNU Linux, plus the capabilities of running what free additional features that FreeBSD has to offer. Correct?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, there isn't a whole lot of Linux software that doesn't run FreeBSD. So you have a pretty big library there to draw from. And the BSD features that people like, the configuration system and network stack and all that kind of stuff are there.
Now, how about the, I was just listening to somebody the other day talking about their problems getting X running under FreeBSD. Are you guys running X386 anymore, or are you switched over to X.org now?
For our release CDs, we have X.org, and most of our packages are built against X.org. We still provide X386 for people with eyeball hardware that may not work on X.org. But, yeah, our focus is X.org.
And how's the support with that? Is it pretty stable now?
It's hit or miss. You know, unfortunately, it's one of those things where there just isn't enough people working on it to make it a smooth experience like it is with Linux.
Right.
It's about 95% there, but there's a lot of cases where your monitor might not be configured right or stuff like that.
Speaking of portage systems, FreeBSD has a fantastic portage system, and one of the distributions of GNU Linux, Gentoo, is kind of trying to emulate some of that a little bit. Do you have any knowledge of Gentoo and their portage system and how it compares to FreeBSD's portage system?
I don't have a lot of direct experience with Gentoo, but what I understand is that their portage system is basically a port of the FreeBSD port system. And what a port system is it's a collection of scripts and make files and patches for 11,000 different programs. So that all you have to do is find the program that you want, type make, it'll go out, fetch the tarball, fetch all the dependencies, configure all the dependencies, install them, and in one command, you're done.
So then, on the FreeBSD side, is it the portage system, is it all from source, or do you have binary install also?
You have your choice of either.
Oh.
We have a cluster of servers that work day and night rebuilding the ports free and putting it available for FTP download.
Oh, all right. So now, another big question. FreeBSD. Probably one of the largest areas of publicity that I've heard that FreeBSD has gotten in the past couple of years is because Apple has built OS X on top of FreeBSD.
Mm-hmm.
And how have you had any experience of working with the developers over at Apple? I mean, have they been has it been a reciprocal relationship there? Have they given back to the FreeBSD community?
There's several developers at Apple that are former core FreeBSD developers, guys like Jordan Hubbard and Mike Smith. And a lot of us still maintain a very good friendship with those guys and share ideas and talk about development and all that kind of stuff. As far as formal give and take, it's not exactly like that. It's not that Apple calls me up on the phone and says, hey, we got a new drop of some software that we changed, you want to have it. Through them releasing the Darwin sources, we've gleaned a lot of their fixes and modifications out of it and taken it back to FreeBSD. Also, one of the kind of side benefits is that since OS X and Darwin are based on BSD, it provides a good way for FreeBSD developers to get real employment doing BSD-like work and be able to share back and forth.
So are they mooching off you completely or what?
I'm sorry?
Are they completely mooching off the FreeBSD project?
I don't have to answer that.
Come on, be honest.
Come on.
This is a Linux tech show. No one's going to know.
We're friends.
Yeah. So it's about the philosophy of the BSD copyright.
Right.
It's that when I watch the collection as BSD, I'm not expecting someone to give their changes back to me. I'm doing this because I want to do it. I'm doing it because I want to share, and I'm not putting any strings on it that people have to give back to me.
Mm-hmm. Now, last week, we had Richard Stallman on the show. And do you know who Richard Stallman is?
Yeah, and it was actually a really good interview.
Yeah. One of the big proponents of GNU software, the free software, is that if you make changes and distribute, you give back, you have to publish those changes. The BSD license does not require that you publish the changes. You could do whatever you want with that. Am I correct in that?
Whatever you want, as long as you give attribution.
Right.
You know, if you include FreeBSD in your product, you need to give attribution to the authors according to the license.
So if someone like Apple comes along...
But other than that, yeah, there is no requirement to provide source or provide diffs or anything like that.
Right. So if Apple were to take some software that was developed under the BSD license, as long as they give attribution, they could change it any way that they see fit and distribute it and not have to give back, so to speak, to publish those changes to the community.
Right.
So that BSD is truly, by definition, free.
I like to think that, yeah.
Okay. For those people...
Now, a lot of companies out there realize the benefit of giving back. You know, a company may take free BSD and have to fix bugs or make changes to the subsystem, and they don't want to keep maintaining those changes locally, so they'll give back the changes to the project. Project will incorporate them, and then that lowers their maintenance costs in the future. And that happens quite a bit, actually.
I would imagine, because it's, you know, it's a lot easier to maintain some changes when you have a giant base of programmers as opposed to, you know,
right,
having to pay for them every time. But I have a quick question for you. What are the chances of us seeing some fresh new ports to different architectures from FreeBSD? We want to see FreeBSD running on the PPC. We want to see FreeBSD running on, you know, Spark processors.
Well, it runs on Spark right now.
We want to see FreeBSD running on Spark processors well.
What do you mean by well?
Well.
That's a loaded question, Link.
Better than it is now.
Yeah, there are some bugs in it that we're working on. And that's actually one of the reasons why we're holding up 5.4 is that there are Spark bugs that we are getting resolved.
Mm-hmm.
But it runs on all your Ultra 1, 2, 5, 10, 60, whatever, your Enterprise 250, 450, all those.
How about some 4M?
No.
Oh, come on.
Damn, you're picky.
You're killing me, man. I have a Spark 20 at home. Needs to have free BSD on it.
You got a Spark 20?
And you know, I have a 46 at home.
Yep.
You got a Spark 20? No, I don't have a Spark 20.
Yeah.
What about FreeBSD on the PPC?
Runs on the Mac Mini.
Mac Mini. Oh, well, there we go.
That's cool.
The only thing it doesn't run on is iBooks because no one's written a keyboard driver for it yet. So as long as you plug in a USB keyboard, it'll work on iBook.
So is this like an official, you know, FreeBSD sanctioned kind of
port,
architecture port?
Well, in FreeBSD, we have different tiers of support, different architectures.
Uh-huh.
We have tiers 1, 2, and 3, where i386 and AMD 64 are tier 1. PowerPC is more of a tier 2, where it's coming along, it's making progress, and someday soon it'll be tier 1, but it's not quite there yet. The guys that are working on it sent me a status report the other day saying that it is working on the Mini, it's working on the Crooks, on their Quicksilvers. And it's looking like within the next year it'll be tier 1.
Awesome. So then you guys are just going to completely replace OS X altogether, right?
Well, there's a lot of good things to be said about OS X.
We can expect a giant market battle.
yeah, exactly.
It'll be, you know, it'll be don't go with that OS X stuff. Get the real FreeBSD.
That's right.
All right.
You'll be opening stores in malls across America.
That's right, and I hope you have better service than those Apple weenies, too.
When are we going to see the FreeBSD pod?
The FreeBSD pod.
That'll be cool.
Well, the interesting thing about the iPod is that it's barely a computer. So I know that there is a Linux port that's making progress on working on it, and hey, that's great. But without an MMU and with the power of 386, it's an interesting hobby, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make a comment here because, you know, I know there's some people listening who, the BSD people generally speaking, right? BSD people and Linux people have not always seen eye to eye. However, I just wanted to mention that how closely both operating systems and projects interoperate, and that, you know, we really can get along. We benefit. You know, Linux and BSDs benefit greatly from one another.
Until last year, I was looking for a company called ZapTec, writing Linux drivers for them.
There you go.
Cool.
And
did you say Adaptech?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we know who that is.
Yeah, I think we have an inkling. I
thought so.
Yeah.
Who are you working for now?
Because controllers, now they just make marking claims.
Ah.
Kind of like SCO used to sell something. Now they just sue
SCO
people.
SCO was a good product, man. That was my first Unix, SCO.
Yeah.
Open server, man. Back in like 94.
Oh, now Pat has taken Link's place as the SCO.
No, I still have to run it for work.
SCO was a good product, man. Back in the day, actually, when they had a product and supported it, it was a good Unix.
Now they just sue people for their money. But that's a different story.
That's a whole different...
Who are you working for now, Scott?
I'm working for a defense contractor named Sparta.
Ah.
Cool.
Awesome. So we got free BSD and satellites and lasers and all kinds of stuff then, right?
Weapons targeting systems and...
Well, you know, I could tell you, but they have to kill you and all that kind of stuff.
Wait, watch for the laser beam.
That's right.
We've been wondering why the lights have been dim in here. Now we know, right?
A lot of defense contractors are based out in Colorado. True?
Yes.
So now, did you move to Colorado, or did you live in Colorado before you got the position there?
I spent my summers out here. After college, I joined the Navy for 6 years. After the Navy, I moved out here.
It's pretty country.
I love it.
Where are you originally from?
Michigan.
Ah.
What part?
Ann Arbor.
Fantastic.
Michigan State.
Is that where you went?
Sorry.
Did you go to Michigan State?
No, U of M.
Oh.
So here's the generic questions that we have to ask everybody. It's required by law. What's your desktop look like?
Okay.
Vi versus Emacs. Come on, hit us. What do you got?
Vi.
You the man.
Good man.
You the man. What are you running for? What are you running on your desktop?
My desktop right now is a AMD 64 desktop. The window manager is Window Maker.
Yeah, Window
See,
Maker.
There you go, huh?
I used to run that.
Used to.
Until I switched to Fluxbox, but I still love Window Maker. That's a great window manager. And nothing works better than VI under Window Maker.
That's
Window
right,
Maker.
Man.
Got it.
Yeah. I like VI.
See, this is where we find out that all the smart people really do prefer VI over Emacs. Because why would you want to, you know... I'm going to start a holy war, man.
Yeah.
Why would you want to start an entire operating system to edit a text file?
We don't need to go there.
We already have one. Yeah.
And not even edit it very well.
Yeah. I like
Link's
this guy more
subject.
And more. Here we go.
VI is very kludgy in the beginning, but once you learn it, it becomes second nature.
Yeah.
Do you run any Linux at all?
No. All
right.
I don't know. There was a really pregnant pause there. He was thinking,
Well, last week I had a machine in my basement for a contract I was doing for a Linux driver. And that was probably the first time I had Linux in my house in a year.
Now, do you run any other... do you run open or NetBSD, or are you just strictly FreeBSD?
I did run NetBSD on my Sun 10 until it died. But... I also run OS X. I have about 5 Macs in my house right now.
Aha. Uh-huh. All of them running OS X, or you got FreeBSD working on there?
I'm trying to get FreeBSD installed on one of them.
So I'm totally interested in this now that I found out that FreeBSD has a working... I was under the impression that the PPC...
That?
I was under the impression that the PPC port for FreeBSD was not working very well.
It does work.
So now
and
I'm
fact,
completely interested to see what it looks like.
Give it a shot, Mike.
There's probably going to be a snapshot of it within the next week or two. Something that, you know, CDD can install on it.
Awesome.
Dude, it's called Tiger. It's coming out.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
29.
How much is Tiger? $99? $200? What is it?
Yeah.
$129.
It's a lot.
Yeah, I'll save my money.
You know, the sad thing is, I have OS X right here. and I still run just about all the applications I run.
But you didn't pay for
on
that.
Free BSD.
You didn't pay for that, though.
On OS 10? No. No, I paid for Panther. Because it gets you. You buy the hardware, and then you got to buy the upgrades to the software.
Fanboy link, Dan.
Now, free BSD, you know, you can just
download it.
Download the latest ports. What is that? You just download the base ports? Is that it?
We distribute CDs. You can also download a set of boot floppies and install off of FTP.
But if I wanted to... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
If I wanted to upgrade, like if I was running FreeBSD 4.2, and I wanted to upgrade to the latest, next release, I just have to update my portage, right?
Well, kind of.
And then just, I forget the exact
terms. There's a port called FreeBSD Update, but its purpose is mainly to provide security updates, small incremental things like that. But this goes back to our discussion of the difference between Linux and FreeBSD, and that is that with FreeBSD you get a complete single source tree where you can go to the top of the source tree and type make and come back a little later and you have the complete OS rebuilt. So upgrading is just a matter of downloading a updated source tree and typing make.
Okay.
That sounds cool.
How long's a little later, typically, in your experience? How long's a little later?
On my desktop machine, it's about 45 minutes. On my dual Xeon, it's about 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Not bad at all.
That's just a regular make world then, right?
Yep.
Nifty. Now, at that point, when you run make world, does that require a reboot afterwards, or you just it just does the update and you're good to go?
Well, technically, a make world only updates your user land. You do a make kernel to update your kernel. And then once your kernel's updated, you have to reboot for that.
Okay. So then you only really have to reboot when you update the kernel.
Right.
And that's fantastic for those. Cause I don't understand why Apple hasn't taken the page out of FreeBSD for that. Because every time I get an update from Apple, I got to reboot my Apple. Every time. New SSH, reboot the Apple.
I've been hanging around.
We're updating libPSG, reboot the Apple.
At least it's not Microsoft. Microsoft's like, write your email, reboot the machine. You moved your mouse, reboot the machine.
That's called a crash, actually, but yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, Scott, I want to thank you for taking the time out to come on our show. We really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
And
we like Unix. Our cousins.
And, FreeBSD, I've run FreeBSD in the past, and I think it's a fantastic operating system. Excellent job. Keep doing the great work, and we appreciate you coming on.
Good stuff.
So, keep on running FreeBSD. Got this new release, 5.4, coming out in a week. Good chance to download it and try it out.
We'll have to check it out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, here's a quick question for you. Do you get a lot of crap from people because of your mascot?
Do I get a lot of crap because I'm a Mac guy?
No, because of your mascot.
The little
free
demon?
FreeBSD Daemon.
Oh, the mascot.
Yeah. Do you get it? Cause
yes, I have people who are currently praying for my soul.
All right, well, Alan's going to pray for your soul too now because he's a
thank you.
I don't like that.
He's going to worship at the altar of Dan's pants.
Yes.
No. Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Scott, for coming on. We'll let you get back to work.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And listen, we hope that we'll be able to get a hold of you again sometime for some updates and let us know what's going on with FreeBSD so we can keep track of things.
Thanks, I will.
When are we going to hear the FreeBSD show?
The FreeBSD show? Well, hey, I'm waiting too.
They're too busy making money from defense contractors.
That's it.
The deal, man.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, Scott. We'll
we'll take care.
Take care.
Bye.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
That was Scott.
You know, I thought that was a really good interview. I enjoyed talking with him. It seemed to flow a lot better. The only downside is the Skype connection wasn't the best.
You know, it's doing that thing through the phone. because I don't think we have quite so many problems when we do it.
When we do Skype to Skype, I don't think we have the same problems.
So we'll have to do some experimenting with that, I think, in the future.
I don't mind jumping off of Skype to a different application as long as there's an application that works.
I don't think.
Well, no, nobody said we're jumping off of Skype. We just might want to, you know, try and make sure that we're doing voice over IP to voice over IP instead of voice over IP to a landline, because I think there's something going on in there, you know. But
little delay.
Hey, that's just me.
So you know what? I just saw it on the IRC. What's your opinion of the Connectiva Mandrake merger, and now it's Mandriva?
Oh, I heard about that.
Mandriva.
That is so dumb.
Connectiva is one of the biggest Linux distros in South America, primarily in Brazil.
And Mandrake's one of the biggest Linux distros in France.
They're
you know, give them credit. They're pretty popular here and amongst LV Lug members, apparently, too. And
really?
The distro of choice by Linux format, remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
Oh, you know what? Let me just take a segue into a wonderful distribution that I used this week. And I really want to recommend it as a live distribution called Hackin' 9. Have you heard of Hackin' 9 yet?
Hackin' 9.
Hackin' is a magazine, a hacker magazine, a security magazine that comes out of Sweden. And they have a distribution called Hackin' 9. And what it is basically a live distribution based off of Nopix, but it's slimmed down, and it has a whole bunch of security penetration testing tools in it. I mean, AirSnort, Kismet, Ethereal, everything that you can think of for penetration testing is built into this distribution. A fantastic distribution. It runs...
anybody got a URL for that?
So hell no, man.
IRC?
We ain't doing no URLs.
Come prepared again.
Let me get that for
once
you.
Once again, we're prepared.
Hackin' 9 is the name of the distribution. It's out of
so it'd be
Poland.
Hackin' 9
I might be
time.
Wrong with Sweden. I think it's out of Poland. I'm not sure. No, I think
I
it
got
is Sweden.
It is hackin9.org, and I will put it in the IRC.
And the magazine...
C-K-I-N number 9.
The magazine is www.hackin.pl, and there's an English page there. And
so I typed in Hackin' 8 because Dan's got the freaking lights off in here.
Hackin' 9.
It's the only way we can keep the power on.
Yeah.
We have to start doing the show by candlelight soon.
It is a security journal. It's definitely something that you might want to take a look at. There's articles on their website in English. There's an English section of their website. Definitely check it out. Hackin' 9. www.hackin.pl.
I'm going to have to download that now and check that out.
Dan
said it was cool. That's why.
So
you all do it too.
To give props somewhere else. I mean, this is great.
And download
great
FreeBSD tonight.
When I used it this week to look at some computer to look at some workstations, and it boots really fast.
Oh yeah,
it boots into.
I like that.
I think it's was it Blackbox or Fluxbox? I forget which one. And it's just great. It is a great distribution. But also, if you're into hacking, cracking, just any of that stuff in general, check out BinRev. They have a magazine out, BinRev. You can get the first three issues for $15, a bundle pack. And if you can get the first three issues for $15 plus shipping and handling, which is like $2.50, I think it is. So for $17.50, you get the first three issues of BinRev. You can also get their bonus pack with the T-shirt for like $25. So you get an official BinRev T-shirt and, you know, the three.
But don't buy that until you go to our website and buy the official Linux Link Tech Show T-shirts, which are like $20, right?
Speaking of that,
you gotta have them.
I still got to send a T-shirt to Droops because I was supposed to do that like a month ago. I keep forgetting.
Droops, start emailing Dan.
And I'm really, you know, all that shit that comes out of BinRev, DDP Hack Radio is fantastic.
It's good stuff.
Have you watched The Scene yet, or Tuh Scene?
No.
Either one of those. I just started downloading them tonight. They look really fantastic, too.
No.
All right, let's you know, move back on to what we were talking about, Mandriva, Connectiva. Pat looks like he wants to say something, because all I see is his head. His head bobbing back and forth between, you know, I see him.
I have a few words to say about Gen 2.
Okay, why?
Well, I picked up a spare hard drive, mainly from my Myth TV box to add more space.
So what you're saying is you didn't learn your lesson the first time, right?
Well, you know, it's been a couple of years. I said, you know, let me check out Gen 2. Let's see if they've progressed. So I downloaded the Universal CD to do the install. I did a Stage 3 Tarball, which is, you know, supposedly the easiest of the three. The base install went pretty well. It took about 2 hours. The only thing that bothered me was that even though the Universal CD detected my network card, when I went to do the final kernel compile, you know, when you do a Gentoo install, you have to do a kernel compile at the very end. It's all pretty much manual. No big deal. I've done kernel compiles before. The only thing was, you know, my network card wasn't, you know, set up. It wasn't flagged. So I had to go do a kernel compile a second time. Not a big deal. 20 minutes. My machine was fairly quick, a 2.4 gigahertz machine. With 512 meg of RAM, you know, over my cable modem. You know, everything's kosher. So 2.5 hours later, I got the base system running. I'm ready to do the desktop. I like KDE. You know, this is a decently fast machine. So I do emerge KDE. 24 hours later, after 107 dependencies are met, KDE starts up. All right. Okay, let me check it out. Comes up, looks nice. It's quick. Is it quicker than, say, Fedora or Slackware or Ubuntu? A little bit. Was 24?
But did you actually want it to be faster? That's the whole question.
You know, it was, the difference was negligible. You know, was sitting there for 24 hours compiling my machine worth it? You know, for like, you know, 20 milliseconds of faster click speed? Not really. Okay. It's time to start installing some applications. You know, Gentoo comes with pretty much nothing set up on it, which is good and bad. It's good if you want just a base install. You know, you can control what you want on there, which is good, and you learn about the system and how the Linux operating system works. It's bad if you're lazy. I'm lazy. We're all lazy to a certain degree. Are there packages available? Yeah, they have versions of packages. You know. They have like an application CD that you can download.
Pat, are you lazy or do you have a life?
I have a life.
There's a little bit of a difference there.
I have a full-time job. I have a wife and I have a child. And, you know,
a second one on the way, right?
Soon.
So we'll see. Now, there's no way you can do Jen.
Second what? Second wife or second child?
Second child.
You have to ask these things. I'm
Catholic.
Right?
We don't believe in that.
Well, you know, regardless of what your beliefs are, kids and Gen 2 don't mix.
Yeah, Gen 2, you know, I basically, the bottom line is, I don't think Gen 2 is usable as a desktop system. Sorry.
Dem's fighting words.
You want to install Mozilla Firefox?
And now we're going to get emails on this one. Oh, yeah, freaking people. Gen 2 is the easiest damn thing in the world. Yeah.
Let me preface it by saying, for me, Gen 2 is not a desktop that's usable, okay? It's great for a server. You know, you install your applications, you get your system running. You only put on there what you want to put on. I'm sure it runs like a top, but
it's the tits.
I can get Slackware running in an hour. It detects my monitor.
An hour?
And my
what are you running
card.
That on? A P3?
Yeah.
20 minutes, right?
Well, you know,
I'm sorry.
Be conservative here.
All right.
You know, Gen 2, 2.5 hours for a real stripped-down system with a prompt and, you know, the kernel's working. You know, if you want to get any software more than just, you know, a bash with portage working, good luck. You know, you're going to be waiting a couple days. So that's just my opinion. It's not usable for me. If you want a decent desktop system, run something that has a decent package manager. Personally, I think apt-get is the best package manager for GNU Linux. That's just my preference. Waret's very good, you know.
Okay, Richard.
There's plenty of different package managers, but to me, Gentoo...
And thank you, Patrick Stallman.
...is not a desktop system.
Gentoo's not a desktop system? Dude, man.
You know what? The Linux Expo, I'm going to go over and tell all those purple-haired chicks with all the hardware in their face, what? that Pat doesn't like. Pat doesn't like Gentoo. I want to see them beat the hell out of him.
Yeah. I don't like chicks with metal stuck through their private parts either.
What's my personal preference? There is a what's the website? What's the hilarious website? Gentoo Ricer.
Oh, did you? Oh, yeah, I forgot all about this. Did you see some of the posts? I posted this on the mailing list today for a lug, and one of the guys was like, Gentoo, for those of us who like the GCC compiler screensaver and don't like to get anything done.
Compiler screensaver.
I love that quote, man. I think I'm going to use that.
Yeah,
the
one with the sinking ship. Yeah, that's at funroll-loops.org.
Listen, Gentoo's cool, but it's not for me. Just leave it at that.
Yeah, you're looking for that Gentoo Racer thing?
Yeah, it's at Fun Loops. It's at Fun Loops.
Go to the mailing list.
Fun Roll
Dash Loops. The link is there.
I have it right here.
Put it in the IRC.
Put it
in
the IRC. People got to say
funny. Have to read it. It's really
funny stuff.
It is great. Some good stuff about people with their views.
It's
the GCC screensaver.
Yeah. Who posted? Was that Brian that posted that? No, that was John, right?
Yeah.
John.
Funny,
or D-State.
Funny.
It was funny.
Who? The GCC screensaver.
The GCC screensaver. I've been compiling for days.
Yeah. I remember my experience with Gen 2 on the
PowerBook. It was
right
easier.
There.
The install was definitely easier than like 2 years ago, but I have a life, man.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, I was like, oh, wow, I finally got the base system up, and the weekend went by, and I had an X, and I was like,
Oh, yeah, I've seen
I think it's
before.
time to compile KDE, and there you go.
24 hours.
Can't touch a damn thing for 3 days.
No, on a 2.4 gigahertz machine, KDE took 24 hours.
Dude, that's just insane. Like, how can you justify owning a computer that you can just, you know, I can't, I have like
it
seven
like a
computers
bat out of hell
that
though,
I
didn't
run,
it,
you know?
Huh? Did it run any better?
That extra 20 seconds of clicking, you know, the KDE, bringing up the menus and going to one application was definitely worth 24 hours of my time, of my computer's time.
Oh, man. Oh, speaking of pissing off people in their favorite Linux distribution, I once again did a Debian install on the Spark 20 just the other day. Don't.
And you did the same oops as you did last time?
Just don't. Just don't. Don't do it. For some reason, Debian still has not fixed the problem with doing a install via console as opposed to having a head on the machine. You cannot use a serial console to install. Or let me rephrase that. You can install using a serial console with VT100 emulation, just as long as you never, ever want to get into your computer. Never. Because apparently, what happens is, after it reboots and starts asking you for passwords, it expects that you're an ANSI emulation or something like that. So it puts all the little escape character crappies on the end of the password when you put them in. The result? When you try and log in afterwards, you don't remember those little escape crappies that are stuck on the end of your password, and you can never get in. You can't get in that way. You can't even boot into Linux Single and get in. Why? Because Linux Single asks you for your freaking password. So, I have completely given up on Debian on my Spark. Under the console, anyway.
I got my son to say Debian.
Yeah, Debian.
I'm going to record it for you.
And I just, you know what, I wasted like
put
two
Ubuntu on it yet.
Oh, no, you're crazy, man. No, I wasted like 2.5 hours getting Debian running on, and I mean, I finally did. I hooked up a laptop to it so that it actually had an ANSI terminal, and then I installed it. But I wasted so much time on it that I was so frustrated at the end when I had to add the packages in that I actually wanted running, you know, like Apache and shit like that that doesn't, you know, isn't on the default Debian install. That I
PHP.
Just said, yeah, PHP. So
but
I just
it doesn't
said,
work.
I just said piss on it, and I download in the time that the last install was going for Debian, I downloaded the ISO for NetBSD 2.0.2, and just, you know, at the end of the Debian install, I just rebooted it and stuck NetBSD on, which was on there, downloaded from the web. From the web, folks. I downloaded all
the
stuff.
Interweb?
From the interweb.
Yeah, that's a Euro thing.
As the Brits say. I downloaded the entire operating system from the web twice and installed it in less time than it took me to install Debian once. So, there you go. NetBSD, BSD rocks. Do you think? The free BSD, yeah, that's probably all right, too. You should try that as well. Now that they said that the Spark port is actually working, I might actually try that.
Give it a try, yeah.
Just for the hell of it, you know? It might be a fun thing to do, and since I happen to have an extra Spark.
Look at Alan with his mic stand over there.
Hey, he's pro now, man.
He's ready to rock out, like, man.
All the rest of us have
metal, man.
Hello.
Metal.
You know what I wanted to do this week? I wanted to.
This actually is better for me because
for the
the drums
radio how to. I wanted to take some video of our setup here. I guess this
so
week probably
can
wasn't
laugh or what?
Yeah. I guess people this week wasn't a good idea. Now maybe if everything's working well, next week we'll videotape it and we can have Alan explain it.
I could bring my camera. We can get two camera angles going.
There we go. And then encode it into a Theora file.
Ooh.
And only people who are using Theora could play it back.
Sweet.
Upload it to Google.
Google
where?
You know what I like? I like having the 11 on the volume.
But this goes to 11.
When everybody else is taking that extra kick. Because we can go to 11.
What a wanker.
The lights blink once again.
Just waiting for the power to go.
Got six more minutes. Can we actually make it to the end of the show tonight?
Before the
6 minutes? We're doing another hour.
I got
another hour, huh? You know, maybe next week we could actually start the show on time.
That would be cool.
Instead of having like 20 minutes.
We're only like 2 minutes late.
I don't know. I've lost track of time because I was up here since before 7:30 testing stuff out. So, you know, please,
except for those times when he was running like a bat out of hell down to his basement, you know, to flip the breaker
switches.
Let us know how the audio quality of the show sounds this week. We got some feedback.
Hopefully it's better than
last week, I don't know what happened, but the AUG file had some horrible distortion in it, which I had to, ditch it and re-encode it off the MP3 to lossy, suck wad. So, I'm trying to figure out whether do we want to listen to the files before we post them for download, you know, give them a once through, or do we want to just post them up there for, you know, the RSS and up
the
archive
post
right away?
Well, the MP3 is right off of our regular recording, so if they're saying that we sound all right on IRC, the MP3 will sound fine.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
So that should go right up on for our RSS feed for those people who cannot listen to us live.
Yeah, but sometimes the past couple shows, the MP3 has been really faint. At least when I listen to it on my iRiver, it sounds really faint. I got to crank up the volume. Other people have said they have to crank up the volume too.
It sounds fine.
So what I'm wondering is, should we listen to it? You know, particularly the AUG. If the AUG sounds fine, we could re-encode the MP3 off of the WAV file from the AUG, and we could boost the volume if the MP3 is really low.
I don't know.
It sounds like the live stream sounds pretty good. It's, you know, the issue seemed to be recording.
Right, and
the
I don't
MP3s.
Know. What doesn't make sense is why would the live stream sound good, but the recording off of the live stream from Muse be so faint? And then, again, we have it with the AUG file.
It's Alan's fault.
Alan, it's your fault.
Why is that?
Alan did it.
Because I bought a mic stand this week.
Yeah, that's right. He jinxed
it's
us.
It's a cool mic stand, though.
He's got the big mic stand now.
I didn't even take the bubble wrap off.
He must be, like, compensating for everything, for something that he's got to have a bigger
mic stand
than anybody else.
No, you guys all have a table in front of you.
I have
the edge of Dan's desk here, so the computer just sort of, like...
Quit your bitching, you're not even going to get that.
Yeah.
Just sort of, like, sits on the edge of the table here.
You'll have your computer sitting on Link's lap, down there under the table.
Don't you be grabbing his knee now.
Now.
That's not Alan's hand, and that's not Link's knee.
Those aren't pillows.
Those aren't pillows.
Why is Alan so silent through the show?
The one episode where Link wasn't
Alan,
here, Alan said a
Alan
lot.
The
marathon session episode, Alan said quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? Maybe that's the problem. Maybe we got to throw Link's ass at it so everybody else can talk.
That's what it is. I'll just, what would it be without Link? You can Skype me in, right?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Link. The Skype channel's just not working tonight.
Yeah.
You're breaking up.
We'll just make the Linux Allen show.
Two and a half minute warning.
Warning for what?
That, you know,
that's what I want to know.
Well, I got one and a half over here, so I don't know.
I got I'm on BinRev's website, and we.
Oh, what did they know? They make it hard to catch.
9:57.
Anyway.
Should we have a special bonus edition, like 5 minutes past the BinRev stream, so people have to download us?
That pisses people off.
Does it? An extra 5 minutes?
So, what are we gonna say?
We could say something.
Hot here, man. It's only going to get worse,
it's
too.
It's hot, man.
It's only going to get worse.
Yeah, the summer hasn't even begun yet.
Yeah, and we're already blowing breakers, so, like, what happens next time? You know, this time it's only, like, 80 and we have no fan on. We're dying in here.
Well, we'll have to run a line out front to the other window.
We're going to have a generator sitting down on your freaking side of your house.
A diesel generator.
You know what we need to do? We need to coordinate with the Lug Radio guys. And the day that they have Lug Radio live, we should probably have a special episode where we go on for like 3 hours.
But we can't even get a hold of them to call us on the weekend, man, so we can do a show.
Well, John O's got gigs. Matt seems to be the one guy who seems open to communicating.
Yeah, but Matt's busy too.
I'm busy too, man. You got to make time.
The whole thing that, you know, these people have lives. I don't understand.
Well, during Lug Radio Live, you know, we could start drinking. We could like open up we can call them up on the phone or through Skype or whatever, and we could start drinking at like 6 a.m. and continue all day long. You know, the same manner that they are. We'll stock up on like Guinness, and, you know.
Oh, we got Amsterdam. We're running out of time. So Pat wants to get drunk for Lug Radio Live.
We should, man. I'm
not going to be drunk. They're
I'm down for getting hammered.
Thing there,
Tiki bar.
They're going to be pissed drunk.
Tiki
man.
Bar. Yeah. Tiki bar.
They're British, man. They drink like fish.
God damn.
A tiki bar run. All right.
Yeah, those Brits, man. They drink like fish.
It'll be our celebration for Lug Radio.
We could, you know what, we'll ask them if they would send us money to finance the tiki bar run.
No kidding, if they got Sun paying them money, you know, maybe we can pay for a tiki bar run.
Who are you talking about, Lug Radio?
Oh, no, I'm thinking.
You're back on the Linux. You've been thinking about the Linux show the whole time.
Shut up. Yeah.
You know what, we got to close.
You're getting cut off.
We're going to be cut off in just a minute. Link, play us out, baby.
Play us out. Okay. Hey, everybody, thanks again for listening to the Linux Link Tech Show. We'll catch you next week on Wednesday. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So long.
Adios.
The Linux Link Tech Show.
Linux Link Tech Show.
The Linux Link Tech Show.
The Linux Link Tech Show.